Hey y'all, this is Charlie, and we are living, loving, laughing, and grace. And guess what else? We are officially in the Advent season. That's right. We are in December, which means Christmas is right around the corner. And before I forget, because I am so excited and just about to pop with the Lord's love with this incredible message He has for you today, I first want to thank y'all. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for taking part in the Operation Christmas Child with me. You know, it's enough of a blessing that y'all joined in that with me, but it's not just that you joined in, but the way you joined in. You are one of the first responses I got from that was from my sweet sister in Christ, Mary, and she sends me a message and says, "Love the shoebox." I'm talking lots of capitals and exclamation marks, and she'd already sent hers off. And I just, wow, my heart just wanted to burst with joy. And I thought, if I get so much joy from that, how much more our Father in heaven? Amen. And it just gave me a little taste of what He meant when He says that He loves a cheerful giver. Amen. It's the style, it's the way that we do things. And you know why we do things that way? Because that's how our Father does them. That's how He takes care of us. That's what Christmas is about, my friends. A loving, caring, heavenly Father who has cheerfully and joyfully given us His very, very best and refused to hold back. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." My friends, the Word is Jesus Christ. He goes on to say that all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. What does Jesus go on to tell us later on in John 10:10? That I have come that you may have life, and life more abundantly. It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. My friends, what a word of hope for us right now. It is so easy to look around and see all the darkness in the world. There is such a deep darkness of morality in the world right now, my friends, where things that are good are being called evil and things that are evil are being called good. And if you don't go along with it, somehow you're the one that's wrong and evil and bad. And Jesus told us those days would come. And there's the darkness of mental oppression, and there's the darkness of sickness. There's all this darkness. But you know what we have? We have the light. We have the light. And remember what the word was that the Lord gave us the beginning of this year. He knew. He knows what is to come. And He told us in Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Amen. And that's what we are celebrating when we celebrate Christmas, that the true light came to us and that His light, Jesus Christ, overcomes the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome Him. Therefore, the darkness cannot overcome us. Our identity is wrapped up in who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. We are in Christ. We are seated in Him. As Christ is, so are we in this world. And it says, "Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." Did you hear that, my friends? This has not taken God by surprise. It should not take us by surprise. And therefore, we do not need to fear it. We don't need to live in the confusion that the world is living in, because He told us that the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. That's the morality, the deep darkness of morality that is covering the people. But the Lord, listen, but the Lord. Say, but the Lord. Amen. For us, no matter how dark the world gets, no matter what is going on, we always have but the Lord. Amen. But the Lord shall arise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. My friend, God's glory on you cannot, it is not determined, right, by how dark or how good, how bad the circumstances are around you. Those can't change God's glory on you. In fact, you know, when Jesus came to the earth, it was the darkest time in the Jewish history. They hadn't received a word from the Lord in over 400 years. It was a dark time. And even physically, they were oppressed by another nation. And there was a lot of immorality. And could that stop the light of life from coming? No, it couldn't. He came. He manifested himself. And in the same way, the darkness of the world, in fact, my friends, the darkness of the world sets a stage to bring out your brilliance, to show how much you're glowing. Because the darker it gets outside, the brighter your light can be seen. Amen. It's just like, okay, this time of year, going back to the Christmas season, my husband and I, we put on quite the Christmas light display. And, you know, around here, with depending on the weather, it can be pitch black at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Or if there's actually a clear day and there's no clouds, it's more around 5:30 or 6. So my husband has the lights set to come on at 4:30. So if it happens to be a clear day, then when they come on, you can tell that they're on and they're pretty. But when it's dark, wow, you can really see those lights, right? You know what I'm talking about. So when you see the world getting darker, that's the moment for you to say, that means the light of Christ in me is shining even brighter. The light in my home, the glory on my home that the Lord has for me is shining brighter. And it even told us in John verse 5 that the darkness cannot overcome the light. Let me ask you this. If you walk into a dark room and you flip on a flashlight, does the darkness of that room overcome your flashlight and now you're in complete darkness again? No. You flip on that flashlight and the light from that flashlight scatters the darkness and it cannot overcome it. That's exactly what he's saying here. The darkness cannot overcome Jesus Christ. The darkness cannot overcome the glory of the Lord that he has put in you, that he has put on you, that is chasing you down. Amen. Do you know that in Psalms 23 verse 6, it says, surely, surely, not maybe, not perhaps, surely goodness and mercy are hunting me down all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, different translations say different things, like surely goodness and mercy are coming after me. Surely they pursue me. But in the Hebrew, the real word that's put there is hunt you down. When you wake up in the morning, have this idea that goodness and mercy woke up with you and they are hunting you down. In fact, while you were sleeping, they were hunting you down. They were hunting down ways to bring goodness and mercy into your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is the goodness and the mercy of our Lord, that even when our world was in such darkness, because we sinned, my friends, mankind turned its back on the Lord again and again and again and again. And his response was not to give up on us, but to hunt us down with the very presence of his Son, goodness and mercy wrapped up in the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so what we're going to do in this word that the Lord has for us is he's going to take us on a journey of love. We're going to follow the journey of love that Jesus went on so that he could bring us salvation, so that he could impart his glory to us, so that he could bring light and life to us, because that is his heart's desire. Amen. And so we see that in the beginning, it tells us that Jesus was always with God. Amen. That is, Jesus was always with God. Jesus is God. He was in the beginning. So where was Jesus before he came to this earth? He was in heaven. He was dwelling in heaven with his Father. And today we're going to get a good picture from Revelations of what heaven is like. It tells us, and this is in Revelations 21, says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And this is John writing, very, very aged now, but he's still young and full of life and so full of Jesus, right? Because this is the disciple who rested on Jesus's love for him. He really learned to lean in to how much Jesus loved him. And you know, they tried to kill John on several occasions and they couldn't. And he even took those occasions and used them for evangelism. That's a whole nother story, because he was so full of life and light, the darkness couldn't overcome him. That's how he got on this island of Patmos, right? He was banished to the island of Patmos because the Romans kept trying to kill him and they couldn't kill him. Hallelujah. And now I want to tell you something. He's a fisherman and he's living on an island. I'm telling you, he wasn't out there hating life. Okay. And then of all things, he gets the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how Revelations, this book starts off. It tells us it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And my friend, when you read it, that's how you've got to read it from. Yes, it tells us about the Antichrist and it tells us about the years of tribulation, but that's not what it's about. It's about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so now John is telling us what he saw. And he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." My friends, you know, heaven is a real place. It's a real place. It's not just a spiritual place where we just float around with no bodies. No, it is a real place. And he says, "The first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." My friend, that's all of us. Yes, the new Jerusalem is going to be a real city, but this is also how we have all been prepared in Christ. We have been prepared as a beautifully dressed and adorned bride, and we are just waiting for our husband to receive us. And there's going to be a day where there's going to be a trumpet sound and a shout, and we are all going to go up to our husband who is waiting for us. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne room saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he shall live with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Did you hear that? God himself. Our God is so personable. He is so intimate. He wants us to know that God himself shall be our God. And listen to what happens. When we say yes to Jesus, when we make God our God, this is what happens. "He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older of things has passed away." He's telling us what's going to happen when he comes back and rules this earth again, when he cleanses it. And he comes with the new Jerusalem, the new earth, the new heaven. There's not going to be any tears. There's not going to be any crying. There's going to be no death, no mourning, no pain. My friends, this is the God that we have. And this is his heart's desire for us. And he says that he's seated on the throne and says, "I am making everything new." And you know, it goes on further down in the chapter to describe this Jerusalem. It says that the material of the walls was like jasper, and the city was like pure, not was like, excuse me, the city was pure gold, like clear glass. A gold so perfect and pure, it looks like clear glass. This is what the city's made out of. The foundation of stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. My friend, can you just imagine a city made like that, where the walls are made of such pure gold, you can see through them, they're clear, The streets are made of pure gold, like transparent glass. The gates, the city is so large, it has 12 gates, and each gate is made out of a single pearl. And then the walls are made out of all these beautiful, precious stones, emeralds and rubies and sapphires, all of these beautiful diamonds, all these beautiful stones. My friends, this is what heaven looks like. And many chapters back, it tells us that the angels in heaven and those that are in heaven cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." My friends, you know why they say that? Holy, holy, holy? Because we have Jesus Christ. We have God the Father, and we have the Holy Spirit. We have a thrice holy God. And because these beings are in heaven, they can see just how perfectly holy and wonderful and righteous and beautiful our God is. And they can't help but say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They can't help but say, it's their heart's response. And we will do the same when we look upon him and see how holy he is. Oh, doesn't it just, you can feel the beauty of heaven. You can sense it. You can see it. And now just imagine that Jesus chose to leave all of that for you. He gave up all of that to come after you. All the beauty, the glory, the worship that he rightly deserves. You know, he was in a place, the Bible going back to John tells us, and John 1:18, it says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." He is in his bosom. What does the bosom speak of? It speaks of a place of love. And we know in the Proverbs, it tells us that Jesus daily danced. Daily he danced before his Father, and daily he was his Father's delight. Oh, my friends, look at the glory and the splendor of where Jesus was. What a journey of love it was for him to give all of that up, to look down on us. And to say, "I'm going after them. I'm going after you." To put this in an analogy that we can comprehend, imagine that you're walking around in your yard or at the park or just taking a walk down the street, and you see a slug. And the slug is headed towards a pile of salt. And in case you don't know, salt will kill a slug. And you want to help the slug. So you try and tell the slug that it's headed for destruction. It's headed for death. But of course, the slug doesn't understand you. So you try to move the slug, but the slug thinks you're trying to hurt it. And so if it could, the slug attacks you. The slug tries to get away from you. And you keep trying to help the slug, but the slug just doesn't get it. My friends, this is not, we are not, it's not maybe our life is going okay. And so maybe we choose Jesus and he's a good path. No, we are born and start off on a path straight to hell because that is what we deserve. We are born as sinners. Our blood is tainted with sin from the moment that Adam sinned. We became sinners. We sin because we are sinners. Every one of us. And you know, God did not create hell for man. He created hell because once God creates a spirit, it can never just not exist anymore. And when the angels, when Lucifer rebelled against the Lord and tried to take his throne, the Lord had to create a place to send him that didn't have his presence. Because remember, the devil thought he was greater than the Lord, he wanted to get rid of him. So the Lord created a place to house the devil and the spirits that followed him. And then when man fell, there has to be somewhere again. If man says, "God, I don't want you. I don't want to be with you. I don't want to be in your presence. I don't want your savior. I don't want your salvation. Where else are you going to go? My friends on earth, no matter how bad it gets, there is still a mixture here. God's presence is still here. He is not completely in control because he gave this earth to us and then we gave it over to the devil. And it even tells us in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are children of God. My friend, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a child of God. And so we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. My friend, you are either a child of God or you are under the control of the evil one. And you don't even know it. You don't even realize it. When we are a slave to sin, when we are a slave to bondage, when we are a slave to the evil one, we don't even realize how much bondage we're under. We don't realize how much of our thinking is controlled until we're set free from it. It's like growing up in a dark cave. You've always been in that cave. You don't know what it's like to see light. And then finally, someday someone finds you and leads you out and you realize there's this whole other world. Amen. And y'all can testify, right? You say amen with me. Because once you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, there is a life and a light and a peace and a joy that just fills into you. There's bondages that just break off of you. And it is a whole nother world. You are now living the true life. Amen. Amen. Now then, where was I? I done got myself down a bunny trail. Y'all know how it goes. And so this whole slug thing, I think that's where we were at. So you're trying to help the slug, right? Oh, that's what it was. But yes, mankind, we are like that slug. We are headed for the salt. We are headed for destruction. And for thousands of years, God kept trying to save us, to tell us the way to go. He tried to show himself again and again as a gracious and merciful God, but man continued to rebel and rebel and rebel and say, we don't need you, we got this. But when we try to go with what we know, we get what we get, right? We can't expect heavenly results when we're working out of our earthly effort. My friend, let's let God do the work. Amen. So, in comparison, when Jesus left heaven and decided to come to this earth to save us, it would be like if you decided to turn yourself into a slug to save a slug so that you could go and tell him, hey, I've been trying to tell you that you're headed towards death. Would you be willing to do that? I mean, really think about it. Would you be willing to turn yourself into a slug? And if you think that's too far of an analogy, my friend, you need a greater revelation of how holy and righteous God is. And I pray for that for you right now. And this is so that we can understand how much he loves us. If we don't understand how far he chose to go, if we don't see how far the journey was, how much he humbled himself, how much he gave up for us, how do we expect to know how much he loves us? Amen. It says it like this in Philippians 2 verse 5. It says, your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He laid aside his mighty power and glory. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. God Almighty, possessor of all of heaven and earth, my friends, laid all his might and power and glory aside to take on human form. How much he loves you. How much he loves you. Truly nothing, nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. It goes on to say that he took the human position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. My friend, he took our place on the cross. We are the criminals that deserve to be up there. But he took our place so that we can always have his place of honor, and acceptance before the Father, of righteousness, of favor, of blessings, of joy, of peace, of heaven. Hallelujah, my friends. He took our place so that we could take his place. I want to read this same thing to you again in the Message translation. It says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Do we ever do that? I know that I do sometimes. Cling to that, oh, that I should get this because it's right, or I'm owed this, or I'm owed that, or because I've done this. You know, that's what our natural tendency is to do, but we're going to live in the Spirit. Remember, the more we look to Christ, his Spirit changes us from glory into his glory. And you know what, my friends, that verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says he changes us from glory to glory, which means you already have some glory in you to change you from glory to glory. Amen. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ, boom, you've got God's glory. But he keeps on working on us. We all know that we're still a work in progress. His work in progress. Let him change you. True change comes effortlessly. Anything that we try to change, that we try to work by our effort and our hands, it may work for a time, but it will give out. But when we just look to Jesus and his glory and who he is and the perfections of what he's done, his Spirit goes into work in us and takes us from one level of glory to another. Hallelujah. So he said to that he did not think much of himself, that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. How far down our Lord came to save you, to save me, because of how great his love is for you and for me. My friend, there was a moment when Jesus looked around at everything he had in heaven. And then he looked to his Father and said, okay, it's time to go. Because what he saw on earth in this mess was you. He saw your heart and he saw your soul. And for him, the journey was worth it. Amen. My friend, if you're listening today and you have never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it is as simple as saying this prayer with me. And know that he is not inviting you into a religion. He is inviting you into a personal relationship. Just repeat the simple prayer after me. Say, Father God, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to become man so that he could go to the cross in my place and take all my sins. I believe that at the cross, he bore all of my sins, all of my judgment, and all of my punishment. He died, was buried, and on the third day, he rose again, proving that my sins are forever put away. I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. You are now my Father, and heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. My friend, if you just pray that, welcome into the family of God. God is now your heavenly Father. Heaven is your home. You are a beloved child of God. You are forever righteous, and your sins are forgiven of your past, your present, and your future. We'd really love to celebrate with you and send you a free gift, so please let me know. You can reach out to me through my Facebook page. You can send me a private message. You can also email me at gracegang20@gmail.com, and that email is also in the episode details for each podcast. And for the rest of you, hallelujah. May this be an incredible reminder of how much your Heavenly Father loves you. And we're not done. We just started this journey of love, but I ran out of time. Y'all know how it goes, because the Lord has such a rich message for you. So make sure to tune back in so that we can go down the other half of this journey. You're going to love it. It's going to encourage you. And I pray that this Christmas season, my friends, take every opportunity to remind yourself, remind your spouse, remind your loved ones, your family members that Jesus did this, that he came for you because he loves you. When you see decorations, take that moment. Let it be a reminder. We're celebrating because the Son of God loves me and gave himself up for me, right? And we'll talk more about that next time too. So for now, I'm going to let you go. But the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face on you and grant you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Amen. All right, my friends, till next time. Keep on living, loving, and laughing in grace.